Welcome to this presentation exploring SQL Server 2012 Analysis Services Tabular Modeling. My name is Peter Myers. I'm a SQL Server MVP and a mentor with SolidQ. So in this presentation, we're going to explore in detail what tabular project development involves. Be aware that this is a follow-on presentation. We did explore in the previous presentation what is new with improvements in analysis services, and very much key to that presentation was the introduction of the BI semantic model. We explored that there are three different development approaches, being PowerPivot, Tabular Project, and Multidimensional Project, and really the focus in this module and presentation is on the tabular approaches with Tabular Project and PowerPivot, and the DAX expression language with its enhancements. SQL Server 2012 Analysis Services release embraces the tabular model development. This approach, introduced with PowerPivot in SQL Server 2008 R2, is now available to the IT professional and extends beyond the features available in PowerPivot. PowerPivot has also been enhanced with new model design features and improved SharePoint integration. And then the expression language DAX is also available to both model development approaches and has been enhanced in this release. So, focusing on the tabular project development. A tabular model can be developed using a tabular project template in SQL Server Data Tools. Be aware that the model designer does not include the database capabilities. So what that means is as you develop a model and load data into it, you must have connectivity to an analysis services instance in tabular mode. And basically in sync, as you develop your model, it will go ahead and synchronize those changes and data loads into the database. When it comes to testing your model and viewing the data, this will be achieved through Excel and an Office Data Connection file that will connect to the workspace copy of the database that you're developing. Be aware also that the code base used by the model designer that is hosted in SQL Server Data Tools is the same code base used by the PowerPivot window. The new tabular design features have been added to both designers in the SQL Server 2012 release. And so here in this slide, we get to take a look at the new features. There's a diagram view, so we now have options in the way that we develop the model. All right, do we see it in the data grid view that you may well be familiar with in the 2008 R2 PowerPivot window? Or do we switch across to diagram view and see tables, columns, measures, KPIs, relationships? And often you can take your selection based on preference. However, as we'll discuss, there are certain things you can and cannot do in each view. But for the majority of things you're likely to be developing, they can be done in either view. Measures, these are calculations that are used for the aggregations of your model, are defined now in a calculation area that is visible in grid view. Be aware that all calculations, be them calculated columns or measures, are defined in grid view, not diagram view. There's also the ability to define multiple relationships between tables. There is a rule with this, and that is that one relationship must be active and all others will be inactive, and it's up to you to choose which is active. The active relationship will be used by default by model navigation. Inactive relationships can only be used in explicit calculations using DAX, and we'll explore that feature and function later in this presentation. We can now mark our date table as a date table. We can sort columns in a table by another column in the same table. We can define multi-level hierarchies, and hierarchies are only defined in diagram view. There is now support for binary columns, which is typically useful for storing image data, which is then helpful for PowerView, as we'll explore in a later presentation. A new aggregate function allows us to create measures using the distinct count. Column and measure format properties can then be defined in the model and will be honored by OLAP clients and PowerView. Table, column, and measure descriptions can be defined, and PowerView, for example, will surface these as tooltips. Key performance indicators can be defined. Perspectives can be defined, and these allow narrowing a model. Connecting to a perspective will show you what's visible for that perspective. And this is typically used when you have multiple subject areas in a single model, and users don't want to be confused or distracted by too many resources. Reporting properties allow us to configure and optimize the model for reporting applications, and we'll see that this is very useful for optimizing for PowerView, and we'll cover that in a later presentation in this series. And then the final three, we'll point out, are available for tabular project only. So everything I've read to this point are available for all tabular development, whether it's PowerPivot or tabular project. But for the IT professional, there are extended capabilities. For scalability, there's the ability to define table partitions, which allows us then to more effectively process a subset of a table rather than the entire table. Security roles for row-level security can also be defined, and this way we can limit access to data to different groups of users. There's the support for static and even dynamic roles. For example, a dynamic role could be the current user can only see the data related to the sales territory they belong to. Finally, in-memory and direct query is supported for Tabular Project. In-memory only is supported for PowerPivot, but the pass-through mode of direct query supports passing through, essentially analysis services queries the underlying data source to deliver low latency data results. So when it comes to developing a Tabular Project, it's pretty much this formula. Create the Tabular Project in SQL Server Data Tools. Import data to create tables, define relationships, enhance the model with calculated columns, hierarchies, measures, key performance indicators, and perspectives. If necessary, hide tables, columns, and measures from the client tools. Define table partitions, define roles, and then deploy that project to a tabular mode instance of analysis services. When it comes to managing tabular databases in SQL Server Management Studio, capabilities include restoring from a PowerPivot workbook, managing connection strings, adding and managing table partitions, and adding and managing roles. We can process the database, its tables, and the partitions, and similar to multidimensional, you may be familiar with scripting. So using XMLA, we can script the database or specific objects or commands. Now, direct query, available only for tabular databases and configured in tabular projects. So similar to multidimensional models, tabular models can cache data or pass through. When we cache, we refer to this as in-memory query mode. For pass-through, this is referred to as direct query. In-memory requires processing to keep data up to date, but direct query retrieves data query results direct from the underlying data source. Now, this can perform particularly well with a new feature delivered in SQL Server 2012 Enterprise Edition, known as the Column Store Index. Now, it's using the exact same technology that PowerPivot uses, and the in-memory query mode uses on the tabular mode instance. So what we can do is query a model that uses direct query mode, and in turn analysis services will query the underlying SQL Server tables that have column store indexes defined. So this doesn't require duplication of data, and we can ensure the equally high performance through the compression and column store that we get down at that data store level. Benefits of direct queries. This is great for non-expert SQL professionals that simply want to build a model on top of data but don't want to get involved in processing or maintaining the synchronization of data. So a great example here is you could quickly create a model, configure direct query mode, deploy, secure, and then allow users in PowerView to go ahead and explore the data with ease. It also allows the easy and fast way to build intuitive data access on top of any SQL Server relational database. Realize investments in your existing data warehouse solution by creating a tabular model with direct query. Avoid the complexity of maintaining a cache as well as the original data store, and it will deliver low latency query results. Be aware, however, that there are certain limitations of direct query, in that the model may only be queried using DAX queries, no MDX queries are supported, and that would mean that a model using direct query could not be queried by an OLAP client like pivot tables. Permissions cannot be defined at the tabular database level, they must be defined at the relational store. Calculated columns in the model are not supported, and it only supports a single connection to a SQL Server relational database. Copy and paste tables are not supported, and hybrid mode is not supported, whereby tables are using different query modes. In a separate recording, we have a demonstration that shows how to develop a tabular project using SQL Server data tools, and I'd encourage you to watch this to see end-to-end. How to create a project, import and load data, create relationships, enhance the model with calculations, hierarchies, and then to go ahead and deploy this to the server and analyze it using Excel. Moving on to the topic of PowerPivot. PowerPivot in SQL Server 2012 builds upon the strengths of the SQL Server 2008 R2 feature set. There are new capabilities and features for both of the add-ins, the Excel and SharePoint. So focusing on the Excel add-in, it includes the same designer and the same features available to the IT professional in the Tabular project, with the notable exception of these four things. In the Power Pivot window, you cannot configure table partitions, roles, direct query, query mode, and of course you can't integrate this with source control. Supported features not available, however, in the Tabular project include linked tables from the Excel workbook and the ability to define implicit measures as defined using the Power Pivot field list. In fact, this is not a great thing, but for the target audience that may not have a great appreciation of what measures are, when you add a numeric column to the values area of a pivot table, it will implicitly create a measure. In the Tabular project, you can only explicitly create measures. So note that it is possible to go ahead and restore a Power Pivot workbook directly on an Analysis Services instance, and then once you've restored it, you can go ahead and define partitions and roles or configure direct query. But it's a one-way process. You can't take that Power Pivot workbook and extract it back out. Power Pivot window enhancements, so perspectives and reporting properties, are available, but they are hidden by default. They are available on the advanced ribbon, and you need to turn this on should you require the functionality. The way that you turn it on is that you then go to this menu and you switch to advanced mode. And when you switch to advanced mode, you can then select the advanced tab to configure perspectives, to show any implicit measures that you have in the model. And we'll talk about the summarize by and the reporting properties in a later presentation when introducing PowerView and optimizing a tabular model for PowerView. Enhancements in Excel for PowerPivot. So the ribbon, the PowerPivot ribbon in Excel, allows you now to create, edit, and delete KPIs. The PowerPivot field list has been enhanced to allow the selection of a perspective if they are defined in the PowerPivot workbook. It also displays hierarchies in their levels and KPIs and the ability to create a KPI based on a measure. When creating measures inside Excel, the measure setting window does allow you to configure the format for the value. And now switching to the PowerPivot for SharePoint add-in, this does require SharePoint Server 2010, Service Pack 1 Enterprise Edition. The add-in has been updated to include new administrative capabilities, new service application configuration options, a new setup experience, and a PowerView report authoring capability direct from the PowerView gallery. So, the new administrative capabilities, lots of bug fixes, the default algorithm used for the health-based round-robin approach has been improved, and many more service application configurations have been added. New service application configuration options with the service application, so the amount of database caching done on the application servers, the cleanup of database caching, the ability to disable refresh jobs if they're constantly failing, new capacity planning health rules for CPU, memory, and disk space, support for transparent connectivity through BISM connection files that we'll talk about in a later presentation with reporting services, and a new mid-tier mini dump facility. New setup experience, so there are improvements on the way you can set up and also repair a Power Pivot installation. So the Power Pivot configuration tool, when you load this, you can point to a SharePoint farm, it will interrogate the farm, and then it will provide the steps required to install or repair a Power Pivot installation. When we take a look at the Power Pivot gallery, when you see a workbook document, we have the three different options here. The ability to analyze in Excel has always been there, but this one, replacing the Report Builder report, is the ability to create a PowerView report based off the workbook. The Manage Data Refresh that we have as the third option is the same as it was in the prior release. The last topic then in the presentation is to explore DAX enhancements. So data analysis expressions is fully supported in both Tabular BI semantic model project types, being the Power Pivot workbook and Tabular project. The usefulness of DAX has been enhanced with the addition of new functions, and one existing function has been enhanced. DAX query, the new query language, is also discussed in this topic. So this presentation does go into some detail of some of the more prominent functions, but not all of them. So there are filter functions that have been added. I'll point out the use relationship here. So I talked about the ability to define multiple relationships between two tables, that there must be one active and the rest are inactive. The only way to make use of an inactive relationship is by using an explicit calculation that uses the use relationship function. Information functions, so username, we can now look up the authenticated user. Custom data, we can pass data through a connection string and we can retrieve that through a DAX expression. And lookup value allows us to look up a value in a column based on some criteria. So username is particularly useful when it comes to dynamic security. If you store, for example, in your model, a list of your employees and their account, you can then use that to say, well, limit access to related sales information based on the employee's account. And that way, effectively, the user can only see their contributions. Now, parent-child functions are added here to allow us to simulate parent-child hierarchies. Be aware that parent-child functionality and hierarchies is natively supported in multi-dimensional projects, and the best that we can do in Tabular is to simulate them using this library of functions. So the path item, the path item reverse, the path length, the path contains, are a library of functions that allow us to naturalize a self-referencing relationship into fixed columns, and then with those columns we can assemble multi-level hierarchies. It's not true parent-child, but it certainly facilitates the creation of hierarchies that allow us to explore across those relationships. We have the switch function has been added, so it allows us to evaluate based on an index and return, in this case, if month is 5, it will return May. Note the unknown month number at the end, that if there is no match, it returns that string by default. Statistical functions, so distinct count, we've already referred to the ability to create measures that use distinct count, and that's achieved with this new distinct count function. I'll just point out that we have ranking, we also have standard deviation and variation, and top n. Search is the one enhanced DAX function that includes an optional string parameter that is returned when a substring match is not found. To the topic of DAX query, so DAX supports a new query syntax, as we now understand is used by PowerView. Though tabular, the syntax is very, very different from SQL. Essentially, a DAX table expression is evaluated. These queries can define helper objects, such as measures, variables, or views, as part of their final table expression. And queries can also be parameterized. So here we see the syntax. And in its shortest form, a DAX query can consist of an evaluate clause and a DAX table expression, which could simply be the name of a table. And that will return a two-dimensional result set that can be consumed in the same way that a SQL Server relational result set can be consumed. For the developers, what can you do with tabular project development? Well, I think a great example is that you can easily develop proof-of-concept tabular data models. And this way you can show to a potential customer what they can achieve with this technology very, very quickly, within a matter of minutes once you know what you're doing. You can develop tabular models based on existing line of business solutions. You can support self-service data modeling. So for those in particular that are using PowerView, you can facilitate the creation of models by exposing database views, developing customer data services and libraries of data feeds to support their model creation. As developers, when it comes to embedding query results into solutions, for multidimensional, we still have ADOMD.net, and for tabular, you'll be using OLEDB.net data provider. To automate model management into solutions, we have analysis management objects that works for both tabular and multidimensional databases. There is a demonstration that will go through two examples of the new improvements to data analysis expressions. We'll take a look at using the use relationship function to create calculations based on an inactive relationship. And we'll also construct a parent-child hierarchy, so to speak, by using the path and path item functions. This is not truly a parent-child hierarchy, but it naturalizes the relationship to produce a fixed level hierarchy. And in this demonstration, you'll see how that can be put together. So in summary, the Tabular Project Model Designer presents a very rich, interactive, and intuitive interface developed using the same code base as the PowerPivot window. We saw that the direct query storage mode can deliver low latency query results and is available to tabular databases. The PowerPivot for Excel add-in includes many new features and capabilities that are also available to the Tabular Project Model Designer. The PowerPivot for SharePoint add-in includes new administration and setup capabilities. There are numerous new DAX functions that have been added to extend the usefulness of the expression language, and DAX query supports retrieving tabular query results. The resources include the TechEd North America 2011 session recording. The Analysis Services team blog is a great and rich resource for what's coming, for challenges that you might discover, and just for an understanding of how the team developed things and why they did so. Books Online for SQL Server includes comprehensive documentation for Analysis Services. For working with PowerPivot, there's an additional TechEd North America recording. There's the PowerPivot website, the Analysis Services and PowerPivot team blog, And Dave Wickard's Power Pivot Geek blog is a great source of information about Power Pivot and what you can achieve with both add-ins. In addition, enriching BI semantic models with DAX is a presentation on this. Casper de Jong's Power Pivot blog goes into great detail, in especially the new functions that are delivered in SQL Server 2012. And finally, the white paper, DAX in the BI Tabular Model, includes comprehensive documentation ideal for beginners in DAX to take them through the understanding about what DAX is designed to do and how to implement solutions with DAX. It also has been extended beyond the 2008 R2 release to include the new features and functions delivered in SQL Server 2012. Notably, it includes a great sample Excel workbook that allows you to see many of the examples described in the white paper, and you can also play around with the sample data there and test out the functionality for yourself. There are a series of hands-on labs, so developing a tabular BI semantic model is a very, very comprehensive, what we've considered to be a 90-minute lab that takes you right through the process of creating a tabular project right through to deployment. It includes the discussion and examples on partitions and security roles. There's also a lab on creating a tabular BI semantic model with Power Pivot. And then three additional labs using Excel, reporting services, and performance point services show that we can base solutions off a tabular BI semantic model. And this just reinforces the point that all BI semantic models expose a multidimensional interface, and that existing OLAP clients like these three can continue to be used against a tabular BI semantic model. Thanks very much for watching this presentation.